While education was examining their domain this morning, we've uncovered something that affects millions beyond any classroom. Algorithmic bias that's literally destroying lives across healthcare, criminal justice, employment, housing. Maya, you've been tracking this pattern of what you're calling digital redlining 2.0?
Alex, I'm looking at data that should make everyone's blood boil. We've got AI systems denying healthcare to Black women at twice the rate of white women with identical symptoms. Predictive policing algorithms targeting the same neighborhoods that were redlined in the 1930s. And when communities try to speak up, they're told they don't understand the sophisticated technology.
We've invited Advocate Amara, who worked inside these tech companies before becoming a whistleblower. Amara, what pushed you to speak out?
I spent 3 years optimizing algorithms at a major health insurance company. One day, I realized our efficiency metrics were just sophisticated ways to deny care to poor communities. The algorithm flagged certain zip codes as high risk, coincidentally, all majority Black and Latino areas. When I raised concerns, management said I was being emotional and didn't understand the business model.
See, this is what I'm talking about. They hide discrimination behind math and then gaslight us when we call it out. Rosa, you experienced this firsthand with your daughter's diagnosis, right? My daughter Sophia had severe abdominal pain for months. The AI triage system at 3 different ERs classified her as drug-seeking behavior because of our address and her age. By the time a human doctor finally examined her, her appendix had ruptured. She nearly died because an algorithm decided a young Latina from our neighborhood couldn't possibly have a real medical emergency.
That's horrifying. Attorney Carlos, you're representing Rosa's family and dozens of others. What patterns are you seeing in these cases?
The same discriminatory patterns appear across every algorithmic system we've investigated. In healthcare, Black patients are systematically undertreated for pain because algorithms incorporate biased historical data. In criminal justice, risk assessment tools recommend longer sentences for Black defendants based on neighborhood characteristics, which is just zip code discrimination with extra steps.
I've been analyzing the data Carlos mentioned, and it's even worse than individual bias. These systems create feedback loops. When an algorithm denies healthcare or increases surveillance in certain communities, it generates more negative data about those communities, which feeds back into the system, justifying even more discrimination. Exactly. And when we try to get access to examine these algorithms, they claim it's proprietary information. How are you going to make decisions about our lives with a black box and then tell us we can't even look inside?
That's precisely why I started documenting everything before I left. I have internal emails where executives explicitly discussed how to frame discriminatory outcomes as statistically justified. They knew exactly what they were doing.
Let's dig into the criminal justice piece. Keiko, your research on predictive policing algorithms.
We analyzed 5 major cities using predictive policing software. In every case, the algorithms directed more police to historically over-policed communities, not because crime was increasing, but because that's where arrests had always been made. It's like using a map of plantation locations to decide where to look for crime today.
And then those arrests feed into sentencing algorithms. I have a client, Marcus Williams, facing 15 years for a nonviolent drug offense. The risk assessment algorithm rated him high risk based on his father's criminal record and the fact that 3 people on his block had been arrested. His individual behavior was barely considered.
This is why we say algorithms ain't neutral. They're just automated oppression. They take all of society's racism, classism, and bias, then slap a scientific label on it. And tech companies make billions while our people suffer. After what happened to Sophia, I started connecting with other families. There's Maria, whose insurance algorithm denied her cancer treatment as experimental, even though white patients get it approved routinely. There's James, whose pain medication got flagged as suspicious by the pharmacy algorithm because he's a young black man.
These individual stories point to systematic discrimination. Amara, from your inside knowledge, how intentional is this?
It's deliberate negligence at best, intentional discrimination at worst. They could test for bias, They could include affected communities in design. They could make algorithms transparent. But that would cost money and challenge their business models. So instead, they hire a few ethics consultants, publish some diversity reports, and keep profiting off discrimination.
The technical evidence backs this up. When we reverse engineered several healthcare algorithms, we found they were using proxies for race, zip code, number of ER visits, even language spoken at home. They claim they don't use race directly, but the effect is identical. This is what gets me heated. They think we're stupid. Like, we can't see that using zip code in Detroit or Oakland is just coding for black folks. Using previous police contact when we know who gets stopped and frisked, it's discrimination with plausible deniability.
Legally, we're fighting on multiple fronts. Traditional civil rights law wasn't written for algorithmic discrimination. We're pushing for new legislation requiring algorithmic accountability, but tech lobbying is intense. They're spending millions to maintain the status quo.
Let's talk solutions. What would real accountability look like?
First, affected communities need to be involved from the beginning, not consulted after the fact, not brought in for photo ops, but actually designing these systems with us. My daughter's life is not a data point.
Transparency is crucial. Every algorithmic decision affecting public services should be auditable. If you can't explain why someone was denied healthcare or flagged as high risk, you shouldn't be using that algorithm.
We need independent testing for bias, not self-certification by companies. I'm working with community organizations to develop bias detection tools that don't require a PhD to understand. Communities should be able to test systems affecting them. But let's be real. We also need to challenge whether algorithms should be making these decisions at all. Some things shouldn't be automated. You can't algorithm your way out of structural racism. Sometimes the answer is hiring more people from affected communities, paying them well, and letting humans make human decisions.
The legal framework I'm proposing includes mandatory impact assessments, similar to environmental reviews. Before deploying an algorithm in healthcare or criminal justice, you'd have to prove it won't perpetuate discrimination. And if it does cause harm, there would be real penalties, not just fines that are a cost of doing business.
Some argue these systems increase objectivity by removing human bias. How do you respond?
That's the biggest lie they sell. Algorithms are made by humans, trained on human decisions, reflecting human societies. The difference is, when a racist doctor denies care, you can report them, challenge them, protest outside their office. When an algorithm does it, they say the computer said no and act like that's the end of discussion.
Plus, humans can learn, feel shame, change their minds. Algorithms just optimize for whatever they're told to optimize for. If that's profit over people, that's what you get at massive scale with no conscience.
A human doctor would have listened when I said my daughter was in agony. The algorithm just saw our zip code and insurance type and decided we weren't worth urgent care. You can't automate empathy. There's also the speed and scale issue. A biased human can discriminate against hundreds of people. A biased algorithm can discriminate against millions, instantly, repeatedly, without ever getting tired or feeling guilty.
What about the argument that fixing these systems is technically too complex?
Oh, now it's too complex. They weren't saying that when they were selling these systems to governments and hospitals. They weren't saying that when they were cashing the checks. It's only too complex when we demand justice.
If it's too complex to fix, it's too dangerous to deploy. We don't let pharmaceutical companies sell drugs they can't prove are safe. Why should algorithmic systems that affect life and liberty be any different?
The truth is, many of these fixes aren't technically complex. You can test for disparate impact. You can include diverse teams. You can consult affected communities. They don't do it because it would reveal how discriminatory their systems are and force them to choose between profit and justice.
Let's look at positive examples. Where is this being done right?
There are small victories. Some cities have banned facial recognition after community organizing. A few healthcare systems have started bias testing their algorithms with community oversight. But these are exceptions, fighting against a tide of automated discrimination. The victories come from organizing, In Oakland, we got predictive policing suspended after showing how it targeted Black neighborhoods. In Chicago, healthcare advocates forced hospitals to reveal their triage algorithms. But we shouldn't have to fight this hard for basic fairness. Our support group has been pushing for Sophia's law, requiring human review for any algorithmic healthcare denial. It's named after my daughter because no family should watch their child suffer while a computer decides their fate.
How does this connect to broader social justice movements?
Algorithmic justice is inseparable from racial justice, economic justice, health justice. These systems are new tools for old oppression. The movements have to be connected because the systems are connected.
Right. You can't separate the algorithm denying someone healthcare from the algorithm denying them a job, from the algorithm targeting their neighborhood for surveillance. It's all part of the same system designed to keep certain people down.
That's why my work now focuses on connecting tech workers with affected communities. Many programmers don't realize what their code is being used for. When they meet families like Rose's, it changes their perspective.
The data shows intersectional impacts are worse. Black women face discrimination from healthcare algorithms based on both race and gender. LGBTQ youth get flagged by multiple systems. Immigrants face algorithmic discrimination in every interaction with government services.
What immediate actions can people take?
Document everything. When an algorithm makes a decision about your life, demand to know how. File complaints. Connect with others facing the same discrimination and support organizations fighting for algorithmic justice.
Know your rights. Even with current laws, you have some protections. If you suspect algorithmic discrimination, contact legal aid organizations. We're building case law one lawsuit at a time.
Share your story. I was ashamed at first, thinking I'd failed to protect my daughter. But when I spoke out, I found hundreds of families with similar experiences. Our stories together are powerful.
For tech workers listening, you have power. Document biased systems. Refuse to build discriminatory features. Support colleagues who speak up. Your silence enables harm.
As we wrap up, what's your message to those who say, this is just the price of technological progress?
Progress for who? If your progress kills Black women, imprisons Latino youth, and denies healthcare to poor communities, that's not progress. That's high-tech apartheid. We've seen this before, just with different tools. True progress would be technology that reduces inequality, not amplifies it. We have the technical ability to build fair systems. What we lack is the political will to prioritize justice over profit.
History will judge us by how we responded to algorithmic discrimination. Did we accept it as inevitable, or did we demand better? The choice is ours, but we have to make it now, before these systems become even more entrenched.
My daughter survived, but she has permanent damage from the delayed treatment. Every day I see her struggle. I remember that an algorithm decided she wasn't worth saving quickly. That's not a future I accept for any child.
The same brilliance that created these systems can fix them. But it requires admitting the problem, centering affected communities, and choosing justice over efficiency. It's not about being anti-technology, it's about being pro-humanity.
Next week, we'll be investigating how these same patterns of discrimination play out in housing and employment algorithms. Until then, keep questioning, keep organizing, and remember, algorithms are choices, not destiny. This has been another deep dive into the hidden systems shaping our society.
And remember, y'all, they want us to think this is too complicated to understand or too big to change. That's a lie. We've overcome bigger obstacles than bad code. We just need to recognize this for what it is, the same old oppression in new packaging, and fight it with the same determination our ancestors showed. The algorithm is just the latest boss we need to overthrow.